Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively into summer weekends. We have Ravens training camp going on. Luke has been out at Ravens training camp. The Orioles have been out in Cleveland trying to get swept by the Guardians. They make their way back now to play. The Savannah Bananas are unavailable this weekend, so they're going to play the Colorado Rockies instead to put the circus on. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour beginning August 7th. That's our next event. We're going to be at Beaumont over in Catonsville. I will have the Pressure Lux as well as the Lucky Seven scratch offs to give away. Gave a bunch of these away last week. I appreciate all the kind words this week on having Kevin Gallagher on, as well as Versig and Dan Rodericks. John Allen, my rock star buddy. We did some Live Aid stuff, talk some beer and some Essex. It's not even like a work slowdown. I have all sorts of. I got Adam Sandler's brother-in-law coming on talking about Happy Gilmore 2. Hulk Hogan is dead. Ozzy Osbourne. It's been crazy. Luke Jones joins us now. We're gonna we can do Hulk Hogan, and I know you want to do that. We certainly you've spent the last couple of days sweating it out there with that Trump supporter John Harbaugh and the Ravens, but the Orioles. This thing churns on, and we're a week out on the deadline now, and we got more guys going on the DL, and Charlie Morton had a heartfelt thing to say. Not sure if he's made his last start or not. I'm sure they'll roll him back out there at some point in the middle of next week. How are you? I know it's been a tough couple of days with baseball because it dissipates very quickly when you're spending 8 or 10 hours a day per Chad Steele's wishes out in Owings Mills doing Ravens work, and feels like football season to some degree to you, but this trading deadline thing, it's sort of at the core of what the Orioles are going to be.
Yeah, I mean it's really going to kind of reset them for the rest of the year in terms of clearing the deck, creating more runway for Cobie Mayo, maybe Samuel Basayo, maybe Dylan Beavers. Kyle Bradish just made his first rehab start at Aberdeen on Thursday night. Sounds like it went pretty well. For 2 innings, right? I mean, it's still at the earliest stages there, but I mean, really, it's to distract from the results, right? I mean, they were able to salvage the final game of the 4-game set in Cleveland, and they lost the first three. They had lost 7 of 8. I mean, it's we. I remember when I was on vacation, you even made a post, I think, because the Orioles had that 6-game stretch where things went well, and you kind of joked and said, "Hey, leave Luke Jones on vacation." And well, as soon as I came back, as I was listening to that second game of the Marlins series on my drive home, they fell apart again. And look, I mean, it's just they're not a very good baseball team. That's the nicest way I can frame it, right? I mean, it's been a miserable season, and even with the win on Thursday afternoon, which Charlie Morton got, was able to pitch deep into the game, pitch well enough that I think he's still someone that can help. A contender at this trade deadline. And it's not to say the Orioles are going to get something fantastic for him in return, but you see that Zach Eflin came off the IL a couple nights ago and looked solid enough. What he'll have maybe one more start here before the deadline, and we're going to see if they move him. And we'll see about O'Hearn, we'll see about Mullins. But one guy we know now with some, in a definitive sense, even though I certainly wasn't expecting it, but I think there was a non-zero chance at least. Felix Bautista going on the IL on Thursday. Sore shoulder. We'll see. I mean, he's going to have an MRI. I mean,
They didn't
shoulder
really want
discomfort.
to deal him, but somebody may have
Yeah,
overwhelmed them. I mean, that's what this is about. I mean, as much as we've made light of the Colton Cowser thing around here, this is
Sure.
about getting overwhelmed for a couple of these guys, or finding out what the street value for Rutschman really is, or just poking the bear a little bit because you're on the phone with these people. If they have an interest in something you
Yeah.
have, any piece, and the Orioles have a lot of little pieces here that could be helpful to teams. I think it opens up intel for the organization, right?
Yeah. Even if you don't make a move, and look, you mentioned Adley Rutschman. I heard Ken Rosenthal talking about it. Just conjecture. I don't think there was any, and he even said it wasn't reporting,
Well,
but
everybody thinks Elias is on the hot seat, right?
well, sure. Yeah. I mean, whether he survives the year, whether he has one more offseason, whether we're talking about him being gone next year at this time. I mean, that some things have to go really well, right? In some shape or form. But you just said it. Even if you have some talks about, I don't know, Adley Rutschman, Colton Cowser, because again, that's almost became the bit
Well, I'm
between you and
trying to
me.
find guys that have value, not Ryan Mountcastle, right?
But keep in mind, I mean, yeah, I mean, Ryan Mountcastle, I mean, they're.
Not something you're going to get a lottery ticket,
Sure,
19-year-old kid on.
which is what
Yeah.
some of these moves that they're going to make here over the next week are going to be like that, right? I mean, you're
They're
going
just
to.
going to be subtractions. They're not going to be
Sure.
additions in any way,
But
right?
what you just said, I think, is where it does lend some interest to the idea that you might have some talks that might lead to something in the winter, right? It might lead to you might make a trade with Team X, and then you talk with that same general manager in December about maybe making a trade for a pitcher, or maybe you trade a member of your young core for something of value from that organization, right? And that move might not happen now. As I said to you, I feel like those types of moves are probably more like winter moves,
Luke,
but.
I gotta be honest with you, man. At the top of all of this, if Elias is on the phone with these people and he's a smart guy, he's only coveting their pitching. And he's saying, who are
Yeah.
the three or four pitchers I can get in here before next March? Now, that could be in the offseason in a trade, how much time they have left on their deal, whether Dylan Cowser or Rutschman is attractive to them, or even Mayo
Right.
would be attractive to them in November, December, January, whenever those deals would happen. But come on, dude, they better be looking for pitching. They better be
Sure.
identifying what pitchers they really want, which ones will really be available, and what their value is, and what Colton Cowser they're going to have to give up to get it.
Yeah.
Or sign it, and we all
Sure.
know what Corbin Burns cost.
Sure. And look, I'm not even going to say only pitching. I mean, you're telling me, having watched this offense all year, that they couldn't still use a middle of the order bat? And look, I'm spitballing here, right? I mean,
Well, the Santander O'Neal thing just
sure,
comes in
sure.
here, right?
And even putting that part aside, I mean, I Pete Alonso, I assume, is going to opt out, right? I mean, Kyle Schwarber, even though I don't think the Phillies are going to let him go, like, you're telling me the Orioles couldn't use someone like that? And look, that might be a pipe dream, but my point is, and I agree with you, obviously pitching first and foremost, overwhelmingly, but I'm not going to sit here and say that this offense is fine, right? This offense is underperformed. I've talked about this since April. How disappointing the offense has been. How there's only a couple guys in that lineup. And really, if you're talking the young core, really two guys, I think. Jackson Holliday, who I'm still hoping has another level, but certainly the thumbs are up for his 2025. And since he's been back, and obviously the injuries you didn't like, but Jordan Westberg swung the bat very well. Beyond that, I mean, Gunnar Henderson. The average has been okay. It's not like he's been terrible, but he hasn't hit for power, right? I mean, where are the home runs for Gunnar Henderson? I mean, we've talked about Rutschman. Colton Cowser for me, his walk rate has cratered, right? I mean, he strikes out a lot. I get that, but he at least walked a lot more last year than he did this year. So, and that's not to say that I'm burying any of those guys. The point is, and this is where things do get dicey, because as we talked about coming out of this past weekend, Grayson Rodriguez shut down again. What is that going to mean? Is he heading towards surgery? What's the long-term prognosis for him? And how does that impact what you're going to try to do between now and opening day next year? Felix Bautista. I'm not going to sound the alarm and say that this is a major shoulder injury. We don't know that yet. It might be that he sits for 2 weeks and then he's back and he's fine, because that also happens too. Not every single shoulder and elbow injury or discomfort is, sounding the alarm that it's the worst case scenario. It's not ideal. Certainly, I mean, the thing that I didn't like, and I didn't necessarily say this to you in our conversation, but when Batista pitched last Sunday in Tampa, it was his first appearance in 10 days. I get it, All-Star break. That can't be helped entirely, but he had 10 days in between live game appearances. His velocity was down a little bit, enough that it was a note was noticeable. It wasn't 3 or 4 miles per hour, but it was more than one. He really labored. He issued a season high with three walks, and they allowed him to throw a season high in pitches. I looked at that, and I'm kind of wondering, Tony Mancelino and this coaching staff, Drew French, 15
I'm
pitches into
so.
the thumbs down on this amateur hour that
I
they,
mean,
you know,
it's
I
just
mean,
kind of across the
Brandon Hyde
board.
put a front up of a big league manager and manager of the year and all of that. And just the indignity he was treated with and the whole out, you know, like, I don't know. I
I
don't
mean, I.
smell anything good here. And as I sit here, and Angelos is
No.
dead a year and a half now. And I just look at all of it and it's tisk tisk, and I shake my
Yeah.
head and I don't have confidence that they're going to get a lot this week in the trading deadline, or what fans want to get
Yeah.
blood out of the turnip of the lousy season and, you know, squeeze something out of Charlie Morton, you know, and renting him for 8 weeks in another organization. You know, I nobody's stealing, making any steals this week in the trading
Probably not.
market. And certainly not this organization. And to your point, they're going to be reticent to trade Rutschman and Kowser, whose stock is down anyway. So I don't know that there are good deals for them to be made when their pieces are falling apart.
Well,
I mean, to your point, Bradish, I'm trying to figure out what could be good news the rest of the year. Five of these guys, five of them, Henderson, Rutschman, Westberg, Kowser, and Holiday. That's the five core guy. That's the Fab Five. And getting Bradish back, hoping that Batista's not broken in half, even though people wanted to deal him off. But I mean, there's not Sugano's not part of their future,
no.
right? They're like, who among these guys is like a pile diver? By the way, I
Yeah.
spent the morning with Adam Jones on Thursday. That's another story altogether.
Yeah, I mean, look, I that's fair. And I mean, just to go back to just to finish my thought on Batista, I mean, if you watch that outing, this wasn't me thinking that he was hurt or anything like that, but it was me 15 pitches into that saying, you can't let him throw 34 pitches today. Like
How are you utilizing him,
yeah,
right?
and I just
Yeah.
looked at that and I'm just, to me, that was a lack of attention to detail right there. Like Buck Showalter, say what you want about Buck's idiosyncrasies and Buck being a control freak. And look, a lot of those things were true over time. And that's why Buck wore out his welcome at five different places. But Buck was so careful in how he handled his relievers to the point where they were mindful about how many times a reliever would get up and warm in the bullpen, let alone how many times they do that. And then on top of that, how many times he's going to pitch, how many pitches is he going to throw, how many times is he going to let him pitch back-to-back days or 3 out of 4 days, and then are you going to give him 2 days after that? And you know, I just that Batista thing, and look, it was kind of an odd circumstance because it sounds like he played catch earlier in the day and felt fine. He was kind of going through his preliminary warm up, like, but because these guys, they start getting loose, you know, you're late inning high leverage relievers right around the seventh inning. And you don't see this on TV because they're not picking up a baseball and starting to really heat up, but they're stretching, you know, they're using the weighted balls that pitchers use in this day and age.
You get to the big leagues doing this, you have a regimen.
Yeah, exactly. So it was
Yeah.
during his regimen where he felt something. And I don't look, it may have nothing to do with Sunday, but I'm only going off of what we saw Sunday, which was his career season high in pitches that he threw in an outing where he didn't look great anyway and kind of looked uncomfortable. So I'm drawing a little bit of a making a little bit of an assumption, and hopefully that's wrong, and hopefully he's fine, and hopefully this is something where he's out 2 weeks and then he's back and no problem the rest of the way. But that right there, when we're talking about Grayson Rodriguez and whatever the imaging is going to tell for him at this point in time, you know, I think the easy assumption is at the very least Grayson Rodriguez isn't pitching this year, right? I mean, even if this is they get a handle on it, he's fine, goes into spring training, great, but he's certainly not expecting him to pitch. But you
And then
just said
guess
it.
what? Though I don't want to hear anything from you or anybody else in October, November, December, how you're counting on him,
Well, I mean,
right? You know what I mean? Like, I
certainly
don't
not
care
as a
what
number
it
one
is.
or a
Like,
number two. I mean,
yeah, I
if you want
mean,
to say
as far
he's,
as the offseason, he
yeah,
is a red question mark and he's
sure.
off my board.
Sure. I mean,
He's a horse not running right now, and he's off my board.
well, think about this. And I looked at this the other day when the news broke that he was being shut down again. We think about Kyle Bradish, who, as I said, pitched at Aberdeen on Thursday night. You know, by all accounts, sounds like his velocity was good. He got some strikeouts, all that. So far, so good. First
rehab outing, right? With the thought that he's probably going to have at least a few more of these, with the thought that he might pitch in the majors late next month. I mean, I think that's what we're talking about here, which is fine. I mean, he's a little past 13 months since Tommy John surgery. So that's still, that's kind of on the good end of the time frame. Typically, that's 12 to 18 months, and a lot of that depends on the timing of when the surgery happens, correlating with an off season. But point is, he's got a chance to look the part and feel good about him going into the off season to say, hey, he'll report for the start of spring training. He made five starts in late August and September. It looked good enough that you felt that he's healthy and the velocity was in the neighborhood of where he wanted to be. And then what I say to that is, no, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, they don't need to go get a top of the rotation guy, but I at least feel good enough saying there's no reason to think that Kyle Bradish, compared to any other starting pitcher that carries the same risk that all pitchers that we think of, that all pitchers have a chance to break at any point, then I'll pencil him into my rotation, right? Doesn't mean I still don't need to get a top of the rotation guy. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Grayson Rodriguez now, whether he ends up having Tommy John surgery next week or whether, this is the latest in a long string of, the kinetic chain. You'll hear really smart pitching, kind of scientific descriptions of the kinetic chain, talking about, a pitcher with his elbow, his lat, his triceps, shoulder, all the, just wherever this breakdown's occurring with him that they haven't been able to pinpoint. Yeah, you can't count on that. And again, even if this isn't a worst case scenario where he's going to go under the knife, and then, I mean, if that's the case, I mean, if he's getting Tommy John surgery at some point in the next few weeks, then he's out all of next year too, practically speaking. So, it's tough, but to kind of bring it back to the trade deadline and your point in terms of
They're going to be a diminished team this time next week.
what are we looking for? Yeah, sure. And look, the reality is, Cedric Mullins isn't having a very good year anyway. If they can trade Zach Eflin hasn't been available for a lot of the year and
Dude, I
hasn't been
looked
all
up
that
at him the
good.
other day. ERA 6.
Yeah. I
It's
mean,
August.
right.
How much help is he
Sure.
providing a contender?
Exactly. So that's part of my point with, some of these trades, whether they're going to get a whole lot in return anyway, in some cases, it's just going to clear some runway. You trade Cedric Mullins, you know what I want to see? I want to see Colton Cowser playing center field every day. And that's not because I'm guaranteeing you that he's going to be their everyday center fielder next year, but I think you want to see what that looks like on an everyday basis and saying, can he be my everyday center fielder next year? I think he's more than a good enough athlete to be a really solid center fielder. Maybe not for the next 10 years projecting, but at least for next year and maybe the year after that. But I want to find out. I've said it now for weeks and weeks now. Coby Mayo, play him every day. I mean, you're out of this anyway. If he really struggles, then I can make a more informed decision of whether he's going to be, going to spring training with a great chance to be my first baseman, or do I need to go make a play for Pete Alonso? I mean, I don't
Well,
know,
one
right?
of the things that's crazy about even Kyle Stowers is how they ran out of options on guys and shuttling them
Sure.
up and down, and that runs their value
Yeah.
down to run them out.
Just been
And
caught in between. I mean, you've heard me talk about this a lot. And
Kerstedt's getting there now too, right? So some of these, right?
I mean, with Kerstad, I mean, I will say in defense of them, and as a criticism of him, he got close to everyday playing time from the moment that Cowser got hurt that last
They
day in
needed
Toronto,
him.
and he didn't perform. So
Yeah.
that doesn't mean he can't make adjustments, because Kyle Stowers at one point in time, I'm not going to sit here and use revisionist history. When Kyle Stowers was traded, I thought they were trading a quad A player, because even though he hadn't gotten the necessary runway that you'd like in an ideal situation for a young guy, he still really struggled. I mean, this kid has flat out admitted he wasn't sure he was going to make Miami's 26-man roster out of spring training this past year, right? Like this year. So it speaks to some of the adjustments he made. My question is, one, yes, the one of opportunity, and two, why weren't you able to fix Kyle Stowers in the way that Miami did? And it's not like the Marlins have this great reputation as this amazing team from a player development standpoint. I mean, how many of their pitchers have kind of hit the brick wall the last few years, including Trevor Rodgers the last couple of years, right? So that's where I kind of look at this thing, and this almost goes back to the point that you were making after I, had my said my piece about how they handled Batista this past Sunday, where there's just a real lack of confidence in so much of what they do at this point in time, where whether I'm talking about Elias, other members of the their player development, certainly the major league coaching staff.
I
I
mean,
mean, all of it.
Manzolino just feels like, dude, you're not a major league manager. Not
It
for
just
me.
doesn't. It doesn't, right? And I mean, that was part of my concern. Not so much that this was justification not to fire Brandon Hyde, but when you fire him in mid-May,
Dude,
that's where I
Elias
look.
has got to go. I mean, at the heart of this, if you and I are having a beer right now, I'm like, this just isn't. It worked for a bit. It's cool. You left us some nice
I mean,
players.
let me say this.
We have a new owner. We need more confidence for the fan base. Just yeah.
I mean, let me say this. Am I ready to say that he just needs to go point blank? No. That said, there need to be some changes, some meaningful changes in their process and what they look for when they're hiring coaches and what they are doing with their player development. This idea that we've seen how many different players get to Triple A and look like they're going to be world beat, like they're going to be total studs. And just about all of them have struggled and really struggled. I mean, in the case of Stauer, struggled so much that you gave up on him, even though they, again, yes, they did not give him a full-blown everyday opportunity. I want to see some meaningful change. I want to see a change in how they approach pitching and acquiring pitching and signing pitching, right? So I hear what you're saying, and this is not me sitting here saying that I'm completely satisfied with Mike Elias and banging the table for him to keep his job. I want to see some real change. I've talked about this a lot. I want to see, and not that necessarily that there's evidence of this, but I really hope there's a lot of introspective work going on with whatever is going on with their strength and conditioning that they've had so many guys at the major league level and throughout the minor leagues. I mean, Enrique Bradfield, their first round pick from 2 years ago, who, if he didn't have so many issues with hamstring strains this year, maybe there'd be a discussion that maybe he'd be ready to take over for Cedric Mullins next year, right? Whereas now, like, the best case scenario would maybe be the second half of next year. Certainly not an option for opening day. So, it's one thing if you're talking about a 36-year-old vet who has that long injury history and has a hamstring pull or things like that. But even their young guys, even their minor league guys,
But
I'm like, what's
Holiday and
going on?
Henderson could deodorize that by just being great, even though the whole
Sure.
thing's not great.
Oh, sure. And look, that's where I'm still not ready to just completely, that's why I'm not ready to give up even on Mike Elias entirely, because I do recognize the work that was done from the moment he arrived in what, November of 2018 to where they were last June. But I want to know, it's a very simple answer, even if it's very compli or a very simple question, even if it's a very complicated answer. What the heck has happened over the last 13 months? I mean,
Well,
seriously,
they're under
what
new
the?
ownership too, and
Yeah,
that
so
goes without saying that this could be a real train wreck in a way
sure.
that I don't. It's a train wreck. I mean, they're
Well, I mean,
awful. They're in last place. The guy who owns the team made a bobblehead of himself, and now he's invisible for the last 3 months. Like Ripken's kind of half in, making commercials, but not really. And they're giving bobbleheads out and T-shirt, doing Hawaiian shirts twice in 1 week. I mean, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know
I mean,
what
how
their
are you going to
offseason's
fix
going
it?
to look like. I don't know what their pitching looks like. I mean, I have no indication any of these people are serious people. I mean, Greg Bader's still running stuff around there. So and Jennifer Grandal is still like running things. Like I don't, there's no signs of life to me, but the sign is that like Elias is in control of this right now, and he should own how bad the manager is. He should own
Sure.
how that Batista's wrecked all of a sudden. And he should own that all of these guys are wrecked at the trading deadline. He can't get anything for any of them.
Well,
This is,
just the fact
I
you have
thought
to.
that, look, 2 weeks ago, you and I were talking about the trading deadline is they're going to deal five guys. They might get a couple of relief pitchers they can use next year. Ain't getting any of that.
I mean, look, I mean, I that that.
Maybe for O'Hearn.
Yeah, I mean, to their credit, they have found guys and turned them into effective relief. I mean, Danny Coulomb was a scrap heap guy they got at the end of spring training and was really good for them for 2 years. Now, they shouldn't have got rid of him. They should have picked him over CNL Perez. I mean, there's another perfect example. But, you know, but the point is, I'm not going to sit here and say they can't get anything of value for the guys that they're going to trade. But I do think we need to be realistic here. This is not going to be, you know, I've even seen some former general manager types that are now in the media space. You know, Jim Bowden, you know, comes to mind. I saw something he wrote for The Athletic where he was kind of talking about this being an opportunity for the Orioles to reload for next year. And I'm just like, I don't really see that with the guys that they're going to be trading here. I think they can, if they can come away with a couple useful pieces for them next year and the year beyond that, and you know, maybe they get a pitcher who's ready to graduate from double A to triple A and becomes their seventh inning guy next year. I mean, great. You know, I those types of things happen a lot around baseball, right? There are all kinds of discarded relievers who stink one place and then they're really good the next place. I mean, Evan Phillips, even though he's hurt now, he was a really big piece of the Dodgers bullpen the last couple of years. He was completely discarded by the Orioles in the middle of the rebuild, right? I mean, that kind of thing happens all the time. And the Orioles have picked up guys that have been discarded by other teams. And so you have some of that. But I guess the point is, no, you're not going to come away from whatever this fire sale is going to be, you know, whatever the four or five, six guys they might trade between now and when you and I talk about this a week from now. You know, that's not going to completely change the complexion of their minor league system. It's not going to revamp their top 10 prospects in their system. It's not going to revamp this roster as it's currently constructed, other than, like I said, it's going to open up some opportunity for a couple other young guys that I want to see get that opportunity. I mean, I'll be honest with you. The last thing I want to see, and I say this with no disrespect to Ryan Mountcastle, the last thing I want to see is Ryan O'Hearn be traded. Ryan Mountcastle goes back to an everyday role, and Cobie Mayo's still getting sporadic two starts a week. I mean, that would be the worst possible thing they could do. I'd rather see them DFA Ryan Mountcastle if it comes to that, right? And I don't think they're, you know, there'll be a middle ground here. Who knows? They might trade Mountcastle for next to nothing
What's he
just
got?
because.
Six home runs the last year and a half or
Yeah, I
something?
mean,
It's insane.
he hasn't been healthy, and when he has been healthy, he hasn't hit for any
Well,
power.
nobody's
So,
trading for him. Nobody thinks they're winning the World Series with
well.
him.
Someone might, but they're not going to give you anything, right? I mean, it would be like when the Orioles acquired Eloy Jimenez from the White Sox at the deadline last year. They
Here,
didn't
take
give
him.
up anything, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. This would be, we're opening a roster spot. There's some guy in low, you know, rookie ball or something like that that we think we might be able to develop in the next 4 years, and this is going to give us a chance to play Cobie Mayo every single day, or it's going to give us a chance to play some Basayo at first base when we call him up in a month. You know, so we're going to see. But yeah, I mean, you look at this, it was nice to see Morton pitch well. It was nice to see Eflin look pretty good in his return from the IL. O'Hearn is O'Hearn. I mean, Cedric Mullins is not swinging the bat well. You know, I think back in April, you know, everyone thought, wow, this is a big contract year for Ced. Got off to a great start, and he just has not been very good at the plate ever since. So, but will some team take him on? Will some team give you something for him? Sure. You know, so we're just going to have to see how it plays out. But so much of the rest of this year is going to be about the young guys and about, you know, what's Kyle Bradish look like when he gets activated? You know, where is Felix Bautista? What is going to happen with Grayson Rodriguez? Is he still going to be some kind of an option for you next year?
Once they
Or
get
is
rid of
it?
Morton and Eflin, I'm wondering who pitches.
Sure. But
Who
I mean,
pitches?
yeah. So, I mean, no, it's going to be a big question. I mean, there's no doubt. So
My
it's going
wife
to
said if
be.
Ohtani pitches when the Dodgers are in, she wants to go see him. So I'll give you that. And you know what I'm going to do for the trading deadline to be nice to Mike Elias because he's been so maligned around here and so available to me. I'm going to do what I do with the Orioles the last 35 years, just lower the bar. You know, I'm going to lower the bar and just say I don't expect much, and
I mean, I don't.
therefore I won't be disappointed.
I mean, the truth is, once the trade deadline hits, and again, I don't think there's a whole lot of oxygen for it. Obviously, they're sellers, so no one's excited about that. But there's at least a little bit of interest in what's going to happen. But after that,
They're just
what's
the last
left?
place
I mean,
team.
what's left? Bradish coming back? Sure. I think fans will absolutely be interested in seeing that. If and when Bisaccia debuts, sure, fans will be interested in seeing that. Same with Dylan Beavers to a lesser extent. But after that, I don't think there's going to be a bar, Nestor. I think it's just going to go away for most people. I think it already has for most people.
Yep.
I think it did 2 months ago for many people.
It's very easy to
So,
do.
yeah.
And
I mean,
lacrosse
look, I'm not going
town
to.
and kids are at soccer, the beach is there, concerts are happening,
Football's right around the
trekking the
corner.
country. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it's just that's not being mean. That's reality.
Yeah,
And
that's their
boy,
reality.
they've got a heck of a lot of work. And even if people aren't going to be paying attention, boy, they've got to get to work because there is a path to get this thing back on track next year. But man, they need a lot of things to go well. And boy, they've got to make some changes and do a lot of soul searching as an organization in terms of how you're going to go about fixing this.
Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore Luke. He can also be found on the backfields in Owings Mills. He is covering all things Ravens. We'll be having all of that coming to you. We have Locker Room Sound. We're going to be talking about John Harbaugh's dalliances with the Felon King. And we're also going to be talking about their defense and the Colts coming. The Colts are coming. The Colts are coming for preseason action 2 weeks from now. I'm going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I like these pressure luck tickets. They're actually $3 tickets. You get a better chance to win. A little bit more scratch involved there with 30 grand top prize. We're going to be doing that at Beaumont on the 7th in Catonsville. We're also going to be down in Ocean City for Mako for 2 days with a lot of electeds and a lot of business leaders. And then at the end of August, 27 days of 27 great places to eat, great things that I love to eat throughout the month of August to celebrate our 27th anniversary. We're proud of that. Coco's celebrating 40 years. I'm wearing my Coco shirt right now. They're having their big 40th anniversary. It's in August as well. So happy anniversary to them and to us. 27 years, 27 foods, 27 days, and a whole bunch of crab cakes as well along the way. I am Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.